And now we're going to turn to another expert in this area, in a related area, as remembrances flood the airwaves. It's become an issue whether or not observances of the anniversary of the Newtown shootings are always appropriate. Our next guest is a pioneer in the field of helping victims of such events. Frank Ochberg is a clinical professor of psychiatry at Michigan State University and is an expert on post-traumatic stress. Welcome back to Current State, Frank.
Thank you. It's good to be back with you.
In your personal opinion, is the kind of memorializing that we will be seeing tomorrow helpful or not helpful to the survivors of the Newtown shootings?
Well, you know, watching what is unfolding, I come down strongly on the side of helpful. As tragic and as terrible as this was, the parents have learned how to come together and reclaim their community. And they're giving us a very strong message across the country that they've learned something about the gun law controversy, that they are finding ways to bridge passionate political differences and take steps that are going to be healthy for their hometown. Now, they don't want to become invaded by others. They don't want a circus atmosphere. They want and they deserve dignity, respect, compassion, and I think they're getting it.
Slate just ran an article about some teachers who lived through the Stockton school shooting 25 years ago, and one of the things that came up was how they really couldn't teach after that. They'd come in with a lesson plan, and sometimes an adult or a kid would have a panic attack or people started crying. Interestingly, there's not been a lot of focus on how the surviving students deal with all of this. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I have direct experience. I was the kickoff speaker for the FBI symposium on school shooting, and Columbine representatives were there. And I ended up going to Columbine, meeting with students, teachers, advocates, over a period of a year, year and a half. So I saw it in action. And yes, there were times when there were breakdowns, but there also was intelligent, compassionate discussion of what was going on. I remember a time where we said, you know, we just have to limit our dose because issues that triggered remembrance, painful remembrance, were around. Mm-hmm. Didn't mean that we had to have the television on 24 hours, didn't have to be talking about it. Yes, sometimes you have to learn how to distract yourself, take a break. But look, that's what PTSD is. It is an unavoidable, almost epileptic recurrence of what happened back then. Mm-hmm. And it feels like it's now. It's very, very real. Don't think that people who talk about being traumatized are necessarily exaggerating or faking. If anything, they're doing the opposite. They don't like this, and they're embarrassed by it, so they cover it up. And I guess an anniversary remembrance is a time for all of us to remember, but not in a chaotic way, in a collective, compassionate way.
Hmm. What about survivors of other tragedies like this? When there's a news concentration on an anniversary or a remembrance of this event, how vulnerable are those people?
They are vulnerable, and sometimes they resent that their personal tragedy is not acknowledged the way a tragedy is that generates a lot of media attention. So, for example, there are many parents of murdered children all across the country, individual murders, and they're not recognized. They're not acknowledged. I have, when I've been a consultant, advised the public spokesperson to say something that recognizes, well, you could have a silent situation, and you're in pain, and you deserve our love and compassion, too.
Do these tragic anniversaries have any value to the professional psychological community. Have you and your colleagues learned anything valuable from how people behave on these occasions?
You know, the first part of the question, I was going to say yes. How people, first of all, we do have to distinguish the high-profile event from the more common event that is a source of post-traumatic stress, depression, confusion, or sometimes just demoralization. The spree killing, the shooting that takes many lives, that's a particular kind of event, and it doesn't generalize necessarily to other aftermaths of murder. There are some things in common. For example, if you're in a family where someone has been murdered, it's different than being in a family where someone has had a natural death or an accidental death. There's a part of us that gets obsessed, and we can't rest until we've solved the crime. It's you see it in all cultures. It's very, very interesting. My colleague Ted Rynearson does research on that aspect. When it's a, let's call it a spree killing as opposed to the serial killer, somebody gets usually an automatic weapon or more than one, and they go to a particular place and they commit multiple murders and multiple woundings. I mean, we even have a name for that, going postal. And you can't say it's always the same personality. Who does that?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we study those special incidents, and we try to learn more about the perpetrators and the places and what can be done to grow from the aftermath, what kind of victim supports are needed. And these are best studied one incident at a time. I'm very interested in better ways to understand when a young man is spiraling into psychosis and he's early in his encounter with schizophrenia, and what we can do when we don't have enough dangerousness or illness to cause that person to be hospitalized.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened with the killer Joe at Virginia Tech. He was noticed. He was in a legal situation called outpatient civil commitment, but nobody monitored him.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Frank Ochberg is a clinical professor of psychiatry here at Michigan State University and a leading expert on post-traumatic stress. Frank, let's get back to a point you alluded to earlier. How are serious cases of PTSD treated? What treatments tend to work?
Well, boy, we now have a lot of experience. We put the diagnosis on the books in 1980. Now we have brain scans. We have subtypes of PTSD. I think we're getting very good. You start by establishing a safe place for somebody to talk about what they have, because many people with PTSD have talked to other people, but they haven't been understood. And what I find personally is so gratifying is when someone tells me, thank goodness, doctor, you get it. You know what I'm talking about. And they talk not just about being haunted by a memory. They talk about feeling numb. One of the latest things that I've uncovered, and I'm not a traditionally religious person, but I have religious patients. And because of PTSD, their sensation of God's love for them has been diminished. The sensation, not the belief. But so it means they're not feeling it. And when I validate that with them and I help them recover a capacity to have feeling, think of what that does. It restores faith, hope, connection, significance. And nobody's done that with them before. And we don't have that necessarily on the books as a strategy for dealing with PTSD. With those individuals whose sensation of God's love has been diminished, I am teaching that when I have my opportunity to teach the psychiatry residents at Michigan State University. And you could see how something like that might be a bit controversial. But that's an example of something that we have available that we didn't before. You know, there's a very fascinating surgeon, anesthesiologist in Chicago named Dr. Eugene Lipoff. He inserts a needle in the neck, in the front of the neck, and he anesthetizes something called the stellate ganglion. This is an accessible part of the autonomic nervous system, the part of our body's wiring that alerts us to danger. He knocks that out for a few hours. And if you have PTSD and you turn off that switch, when that switch comes back on again, with a significant number of people, they don't have PTSD.
Fascinating. We've got to let it go there. Our guest has been Dr. Frank Ochberg. Frank's a clinical professor of psychiatry at Michigan State University and a leading expert on post-traumatic stress here as the anniversary of the Newtown, Connecticut shootings approaches. Dr. Ochberg, many thanks.
Thanks to you. Bye now.